Looking at a new series this morning, and the series is just simply pleasing God. How do we please God? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we're going to talk about, within the series, this subject, having the mind of Christ. Now, if you have a child at this time, they're welcome to be dismissed. We do have our junior church program, and they can exit out the side here with Miss Diana. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for an opportunity we have to look into your word, Father, and for your Holy Spirit to work and do that which you desire within our hearts, Father. We do ask, Lord, that you would remove any obstacle that would get in the way of what you would have done in our hearts and our lives, Father, and that you would have full reign and control of our thoughts this morning, Father. And Father, just if there's any that does not know you as your Savior, Father, I pray you draw them to you, Lord. And Father, we do pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A few years ago, I tried to I tried to get a graphic. When we were in Maryland, we had a we had kind of the graphics that we would put on the screen that had to do with the message, and we would have various things. They had a big screen that they used, and we had a computer in the back in the sound room, and I had a flash drive that I kept the information that I would transfer over to the computer there. And so I took my flash drive into the computer, into the sound room, and a message came upon the screen of the computer. And it said, "This disk needs to be formatted." Now, that's not good news. That is not good news. There I was, and I had a lot of information, important information on that flash drive, and I was about to lose it. Basically, formatting a disk is simply a process in which the disk is reconfigured, so it's ready to receive new data. In the process, however, all previous data is lost, and everything is erased on it. And so it said, "Disk needs to be formatted." And I wasn't happy about that. You know, after salvation, God wants to reformat our way of thinking. God wants to mold our minds into the image or pattern of Christ. God wants to format our lives so that we would reflect the information that he has for us in the Word of God. And what that really means is a mass erasing of who we were. We need to be erased of what we knew, so that we can receive the information that God has for us in his word. Romans 8, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And so that carnal mind needs a formatting, so to speak. It needs to be erased so that our minds can then be reconfigured to the Word of God. And if we truly want to please God in our lives, we must develop and learn the mind of Christ. Any Christian who sincerely desires to learn the heart and mind of Christ can see it accomplished through the application of the Word of God in their lives. Sometimes people can falsely get the idea that your background or your upbringing can detour you from growing. And that may have some effect, folks, but it shouldn't. And it doesn't have to. Perhaps you learned about the blonde who was staring at a carton of orange juice because it said on it, "Concentrate." And so she stared at it. Or perhaps that the other blonde, and I don't know why blondes get the bad jokes. Blonde, he looked at a box of Cheerios, and she said, "Oh, look, mini donuts." I don't know if you heard about those, but let me say this. The good news is that everyone who's yielded to Christ can learn, no matter what color your hair may be or what color your neck may be. Amen. You can still learn today, and God can teach you. Amen. So I'm going to be crucified by the blondes afterwards. So number one in your notes there, I want you to notice the exhortation to the Christians. The exhortation to the Christians. Philippians 2:5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, as you study the background of the church at Philippi, you're going to find that it was a church that knew much about having the joy of Christ. And that's so important. They had seen God bless in a great way, and yet the devil oftentimes will fight against that early church. He tried to rob them of their joy, tried to give them a worldly mindset as opposed to a godly mindset. But let's look at this exhortation. First off, in this exhortation, they are told to possess the mind of Christ. To possess the mind of Christ. To see that a little closely. To look at in more detail, so to speak. Look at chapter 4, if you will. And verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So many aspects to that. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You're not what you eat. You're what you meditate on. Now, you know that old saying, "You are what you eat." That's not necessarily true, although I understand it from a physical aspect. But you really are what you think on. You are what you meditate on. It becomes who you are. So whatever it is that I'm meditating on, whatever it is I'm saturating my heart and my mind with, is basically going to result in my life. It's going to come out of my life. That is going to be what I reflect on in my everyday life. Have you ever imagined how some people would be if they never got saved? In some cases, they'd be meaner than a rattlesnake. But when you're saved, God's mind, Christ's mind, begins to touch your mind. And his word begins to affect your heart. And as a man thinks on the word of God, so is he. You meditate on the word of God, it will develop who you are. Look at what the Bible tells us to think on in verse number 8 again. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. You're going to hear a lot of bad things about people. Don't dwell on those. You're going to hear a lot of bad things about people. You're going to hear a lot of bad things about, why we don't like that church over there, why we don't like that church over there. Don't dwell on that. Honestly, dwell on the things that are of a good report. If they're preaching Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, be as Paul said, when Paul was asked what he thought about certain preachers, for instance, in a competition type mentality. You know what Paul said? He said, "Christ is preached there, and I rejoice. I don't agree with everything they're doing. I don't like all their methods. I may not agree with everything they say, but Christ is preached, and there, and I rejoice." You can rejoice, and if they're doctrinally sound, you can rejoice in every church out there. You can rejoice. That brother or sister, they may have a lot of room to grow, but let's just be honest about ourselves. We have a lot of room to grow too. None of us have arrived. Somebody said it this way, if you've arrived, that means you're not going anywhere anymore. You know? And once you arrive to your destination, you're done going, right? I don't want to be done going. I don't want to be done growing. In order for me not to be done growing, I have to come to the self-realization that I still have room to grow. And that brother and sister next to you may have room to grow as well, but remember, so do you. And if there's a good report, I said this, I was in Brother Steve's Sunday school class this morning, and he's teaching a great series on 1 Corinthians, enjoying that. And, I made a comment, I think I might have just lost it for a moment there. It had to do with the ideal that we're to grow. I completely lost what I just said. What I was just going to say. I hate when that happens. We are to possess the mind of Christ. And whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely. Think on these things. Think on these things. Those are things to think on. And so, I want to notice they're told to possess the mind of Christ. If we just apply this verse, for instance, to our television watching, we probably cut out 99% of what we watch. It's not pure. It's not lovely. It's not a good report. God wants you to meditate on things that are virtuous and pure and lovely. God wants you to think about those things that are a reflection of His nature and are a reflection of His Word. I saw a teenager one time, and maybe you've seen this t-shirt. It says, "I'm dysfunctional by choice." Okay, that's what the t-shirt said. That's a great t-shirt to get, really. I mean, but no, there's some truth to that. You know, we've been given a free will. Hey, at least this teenager wasn't blaming his past or his parents or his environment on how he is. He's honestly saying, "I'm the way I am by choice. I'm weird because I want to be weird," is what he's saying, you know? "I've got issues because I want to have issues. It's my own choice," is what he's saying. And on the other hand, someone could say, by the grace of God, "I'm living a spiritual life. I'm pleasing to God by choice." By choice. The word "let." Be in you. We'll go back to chapter 2 again. Verse number 5, where he says "let." What that means is Christ's mindedness, our choice. Let. Choose to have the mind of Christ. Let it be a choice in your life that you have the mind of Christ. God's not going to force feed us His Word. Let. Choose. Make a decision that you're going to have the mind of Christ. We must truly choose not only to ask what would Jesus do, but to follow through on doing what He would do. By the way, sometimes I think the better question would be, what did Jesus do? If you want to know what Jesus would do, you don't have to guess. You can find it and see what He did do. And follow His example of what He did, but you have to follow through. And so possess the mind of Christ. And then practice the life of Christ. As we learn the Word of God, we can then display the Word of God before others. Belief determines behavior. Belief determines behavior. Why are we here today? I believe most of us are here today because we believe it's important to get with God's people, to open up the Word of God, and to worship God. And because you believe that, your behavior is affected to the point where you got up this morning, you got ready for church, you got into your car, and you drove to Smyrna Baptist Church. Because your belief affected your behavior. Now, some people do not believe what we believe today, and they're behaving in a different way this morning. But what we believe determines the way we behave. And when we develop the mind of Christ, it's going to affect the way we behave. We're going to have a life that reflects the Word of God as it permeates our minds as we meditate on it. 1 Peter 2:21, the Bible says, "For here, even here unto you were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." That we should follow His steps. Oh, that I would have time to really develop that. But if you ever study out the relationship of Jesus Christ to his Father. He was always in absolute obedience and dependence and submission to his Father. And then he says that as he was with his Father, so he's going to be with us. We are to be with him. That we are to be in complete submission and obedience to Jesus Christ. So practice the life of Christ. Practice the life of Christ. we're to follow in his step. Now, when I was a youth director in Michigan, at Garden City, Michigan, I was a youth director for 3 years. One day, there's a young girl named Rebecca in our youth department. Remember Rebecca Ramirez? Teenage girl. And one day, she comes to church, and she's got a bag with her. And she opens up the bag, and she pulls out a Ouija board. And then she starts pulling out some very satanic items that went with it. And I was just amazed at the stuff that she had in there. And she said, "Brother Waddell, I just want to bring this and get rid of it. Can you get rid of it for me?" Now, if we're honest with ourselves today, I mean, that's great when teenagers do that. But mom and dad, there's some things in our lives that may not be Ouija boards. But there's things in our lives we need to get rid of. There's things in our lives that we just need to throw out. And there's things in our lives we need to get rid of. And we need to let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. That's the exhortation to the Christians. And then I want to notice the example of Christ. Look at verse 6, if you will. "Who being in the form of God thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So here's the example we're given. Christ is the essence of God. He is God in the flesh, who being, verse number 6, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Christ is God. Being, when it says who being in the form of God, that word being it means this, it means already in existence. Already in existence. Jesus Christ was God already in existence. John 10:30, he says, "I and my Father are one." John 8:54, Jesus said to them, "Very, very, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is telling us that he is eternally pre-existent with the Father before the time of Abraham. So being, and then we see that phrase, the form of God. Being in the form of God. That means Jesus possesses the very nature and attributes of God. Jesus Christ could heal the sick. Jesus Christ could raise the dead. Jesus Christ allowed Philip and others to worship him. Remember when Doubting Thomas saw him? And he said, "Go ahead, Thomas. Touch the scars." Remember what Thomas said afterwards? You can pick on Thomas all you want, but I love what he says. He says, "My Lord and my God." I don't see Jesus correcting him on that, do you? I don't see Jesus saying, "Oh, no, don't call me God." I don't see where he stops him there. He says, "My Lord and my God." And there he worships him. Jesus Christ received worship. Who being, Hebrews 1:3, the Bible says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I love how that's phrased, the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus was the express image of God. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he ministered on this earth and when he died upon the cross of Calvary, was God come down in the flesh. Christ is the essence of who God is. You have to believe that, not only to be saved, but also to truly understand his example to us. Christ is the essence of God, and Christ is our example of a servant. Look at verse number 7. understanding this about God, understanding this about Christ, understanding that he's the very essence of God. It goes on, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus is the ultimate example of what a servant should be. He taught us how to love our spouses. He taught us how to serve one another. He taught us how to care for the needy because of how he himself humbled himself. How he humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He was in eternity past with God, the Heavenly Father, as Creator God, Jesus Christ, was there at creation. The Bible tells us that he upholds all the worlds in his hands. But we're told he made himself of no reputation. He allowed himself to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, to enter into his mother's womb, to be born a carpenter's son. He did not reduce his deity, by the way. He never became less God in doing this, but he restrained it. And he submitted himself to his Father's will. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, the mindset of most of us today is to vie for position. I want to get that position. I want to build a reputation. I want to climb the ladder. I want to prove the other guy wrong. That's our mindset. And let me say, social media has not made that better. Social media is just, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm doing this now, look at me. I'm doing that now, look at me. We're having dinner, look at my dinner, you know. And we want to be seen. And we want to be heard, and we want to be recognized, and we want a reputation, and we want all these things. And now we can do everything we do live. We can now video ourselves live on Facebook. Look at me, you know? And that's the mentality of man. We vie for position. We want reputation. We want all those things. But we're told that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. If we have the mind of Christ, we'll do the exact opposite. We won't want to be seen. We won't be doing what we're doing to get a reputation. We won't be trying to seek to be the head of everything, so to speak. He made himself no reputation. He took the form of a servant. Did you know that as we take upon ourselves the mind of Christ, we're going to have a heart to be a blessing to other people? I'm thankful to see people And he wouldn't ask me to draw attention to himself, but Brother Tim, man's got a servant's heart. I'd ask him to do just about anything, and he'd do it. I'm glad for people like that. Brother Steve, I think in many ways the same way. And I'm glad for people in our church that have that mindset. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come to be ministered to, he came to minister. And if we're exercising the mind of Christ, we're looking for ways to serve, not ways to get out of serving. I heard about two young missionaries who went to China to work with Hudson Taylor, great missionary in the China Inland Missions. And one day after a tremendous downpour of rain, the two missionaries saw that there was a clogged sewage pit. And so they began to argue among themselves. Who should have to fix it? I've been here longer, and I have more, I have more experience as a missionary, and I have seniority, and so you take care of this, and the other one, no, you take care of this, and they're arguing back and forth, and the whole time they're arguing right behind their back, they don't realize it, but Hudson Taylor gets into the pit and fixes the problem. Both of them are humiliated as they look at their mentoring missionary doing the work they should have been doing. Folks, that's a mindset. Hudson Taylor had the right mindset. Someone who really walks with God is never going to sit around and argue over who did or we should have or who could have. But instead, they're going to get themselves busy with the work of Christ. They're going to be a servant to God. And so he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became flesh. Folks, you may think you're a big shot, but to be a human in any way is a big downgrade. It's a big downgrade. I hate to burst your bubble, but it's a downgrade. And yet Jesus made Himself like a man. He humbled Himself. Verse number 8, and being in the form, found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The life and mind of Christ are the opposite of the world's thinking, which is controlled by Satan himself. We act just like Satan. Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yeah, Jesus descended from heaven and became like the Most Low. Opposites. Satan elevates himself while Jesus emptied himself. Are you fighting some issue right now where you feel that you've got to have it your own way? Maybe with the mind of Christ, you could come to the point and say, as Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done. Our problem is so many people are saying, not thy will, but mine be done. So many times people are demanding their rights. They're fighting their cause when in fact they should realize that they have no rights but to please God, and they have no cause but to glorify His name. Christ is our escape from the penalty of sins. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. You see, Christ is the essence of God. He's the example of a servant, and He's our escape from the penalty of sin. Now, it's one thing to look to Jesus as an example of a servant, but it's another thing altogether to trust Him as your personal Savior. More than an example. Jesus Christ all the way to the death of the cross, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, Jesus Christ reconciled all things to Himself. Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary, by the shedding of the blood, has provided a way by which each of us could have forgiveness of sin, whereby each of us who would come to the cross today, who would confess, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I believe that You shed Your blood so that my sins might be forgiven. When we would call upon Christ to invite Him into our hearts, the Bible tells us, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I want you to recognize that Jesus Christ died in order that each of us might have a personal Savior. I'm thankful for the two young ladies last week who came forward. One of them received Christ. The other one got assurance of salvation. I'm thankful for that decision, that they would, that Christ should be their Savior. And I want to say, Lord, help me look past this matter of you, Mary, being an example of how to live. But help me to see you also as a Savior of my life. And if you've never trusted Him as Savior, He came to provide an escape from sin. You know, there was a missionary in Brazil. He was at a religious carnival. And as he was walking past the booths, he saw that there was there's several of them that were selling crucifixes and crosses and things like that. And one tag on a cross, a set of crosses, was there, and it kind of caught his eyes. And it simply said this. It said, cheap crosses. Cheap crosses. You know, when I see our passage, a God who became a man, who dwells among us, I see Him humbling Himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I say to you today, there is nothing cheap about the cross of Calvary. And let me say, His blood was not cheap. There was a great price paid for our ransom. It's not cheap. There's only one way to have peace with God. He, by himself, purged our sins. You see, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the essence of God. Yes, Jesus is our example in servitude, but not until you accept him as Savior will he ever be your escape from sin. I want to know, thirdly, and what we've done, the exaltation of the coming King. Look at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, his name is risen above all other names. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in him, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him and unto the Lamb and ever. You see, there's coming a day when this sin-sick world, filled with strife and war and corruption and immorality and ungodliness, is finally going to see Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, on the throne. And they're going to finally rise that his name is above all names. His name is above all political names. His name is above all religious names. His name always has been and always will be higher than all names. His name will be ascended on high, and everyone will know that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow at that wonderful, wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus Christ. His name is risen above all names. His name is recognized above all other names. Look at verse 10. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This world will either acknowledge him today as their Savior and Lord, or there is coming a day when they must acknowledge him as their sovereign judge. One or the other. That's your choice today. Oh, I hope you make the right one. My friend, if you acknowledge him as your Savior today, I'm glad to tell you, you'll never have to face him as your judge. He'll be your Savior. You can face him as your friend, your advocate, your Savior today if you're willing to do so. Friend, you cannot live with the mind of Christ until you accept him as your Savior. For those who have accepted him as Savior, may we love and serve him and serve one another. Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning, Lord, that you'd draw men and women to you, Lord, and that we might become more and more in the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet.